So is Laurel Andrews here today?
Oh,
I want to tell a story about Laurel. Okay, so I'm going to tell the story, and her in-laws are over here, and they will be more than willing to share it with her. First of all, I should probably introduce myself. My name is Tanya. I'm part of the teaching team here, and I'm also part of the staff at Whitewater. I have the glorious title of Everything Else. So I am not a pastor. I am everything else. All right, so let's talk about Laurel for a minute. Laurel puts on Facebook a couple months ago. She says, "Happy anniversary to my mom and dad." It's like, oh, isn't that nice? And then what she really said, though, was, "Happy 24th anniversary to my parents." And when I read that on Facebook, I went, ouch, ouch. Because in a couple of weeks, Lauren and I will be celebrating our 24th anniversary. So I tell you this not to tell you that apparently I could be Laurel's mom, which we just will not go into, but really what I tell you this is to say I have been married almost 24 years. And, yes, thank you. And in that 24 years, to the best of my recollection, Lauren and I have never shared a tube of toothpaste. Now, obviously, I mean, there's a couple of reasons for this. The first is that my husband has horrible taste in toothpaste and uses the wrong brand. So, of course, you know, I have very good taste and I use the correct brand of Crest. No product endorsements for the church this morning. But the bigger reason is that I do not want my husband's boy germ-laden toothbrush anywhere near my toothpaste. I think that is really, really gross. So somehow, Lynn Montoya and I are having lunch, and we get on the subject of toothpaste. And she is, of course, beyond shocked because she and Paul apparently do share toothpaste, and it's all very fine at their house. But she was just so surprised that I do not want to share my toothpaste with anybody. So not even 48 hours later, Rachel Slama is staying with us. And she is getting ready to, we're getting ready for church, and she's going to do her presentation in front of the church about her upcoming missions trip. And she comes running down the stairs, and she says, "Can I borrow your toothpaste? I forgot mine." Okay, we have now your basic moral dilemma. I can either share my toothpaste with her, which we've already defined as gross, or I can let her get up in front of everybody feeling less than put together because she was not able to brush her teeth. So the first thing I do is I go running around the house looking for those little tubes of toothpaste, you know, that you get from the dentist, and I keep them stashed for just such emergencies. I have no idea where I have stashed them, but I cannot find it. So it's like, okay, yes, Rachel, you may use my toothpaste. And obviously, I have survived this trauma of giving someone and sharing with someone when I really didn't want to. So, as you know, we've been doing this narrative through the Bible, and so and it's in chunks is how we've been teaching it. So, in between each of these chunks, we've been doing sort of a teaching on how does what we've just been talking about apply in real life. And so the teaching team gave me the opportunity to talk about giving. So we talk about giving every Sunday. The elders come up and do a couple minutes, and words like tithe and offering, you know, kind of get tossed around. So what is tithe? Well, tithe is this fancy Christian word that simply means giving 10%, okay? Tithing is giving back to God a portion of what he's given us. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our money, right? So this was created for our benefit. This is teaching how we put God first in our lives and how we can be these unselfish people. So tithing to the church is great because, as you know, ministries have needs. Okay, we need electricity. We need lights. We need coffee. Rumor has it we need more blue velvet bags. Okay, just a rumor. We don't need more blue velvet bags. Okay. But so giving is a way that we keep our ministry's running here. But giving's also this part where we can sort of build, work together as a community, because as we pool our resources, we're having this bigger impact on Laramie and on the world than we do as individuals. So it would be very easy if I could stand up here and say, okay, 10%, 12%, how about 15%? That's the rule, 15%, everything you make. Okay, that'd be really simple, because then you would know if you had hit the mark. Pass, fail. Heaven, hell, simple, done. You made the mark or you didn't. Okay, but that's not exactly how it works. Tithing is this bigger part of the picture. It's tithing is really, you know, we can't put this number on it necessarily, but it what it does is it says, you know, examine our hearts. What is this priority in our lives? What is giving? Now, when Heath wants to define something for us, oh yeah, Heath is here today, okay. When Heath wants to define something for us, he always goes to Wikipedia. Fabulous resource that it is. That's how he knows it's true. All right, so I went old school, although still online, and I went to Webster's Dictionary. And Webster's defines giving as the transfer of something without the expectation of getting something in return. Okay, so I think that last part's key. Without expecting anything in return. So we've been talking about, you know, these themes that run through the Bible. And the Bible isn't this collection of short stories all under one cover, but rather it's one large story with these themes that run through it. So for example, in Galatians chapter 5, it references the law in Leviticus. And it says, okay, I did the New Living Translation today. It says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself." So then I think that giving really is defined as intentionally loving those in our path. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see a need? Can you fill that need? This week, take a look at the Giving Deeper. We'll be putting them up on the website after we get the teaching uploaded. And all these verses focus on, you know, why we should give. And there's this common thread that runs through them. And that is, Christ loves us. We are called to be like him. That's why we call ourselves Christ followers. And as such, we are called to intentionally love those around us, just like Jesus did. We are called to give where there is a need. We give because we are Christ followers. Giving is how we express this tangibly. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He saw where people were hurting, and he reached them there. And as he spoke to their physical needs, they responded, and he filled their spiritual needs. So we've been talking about Isaiah and Jeremiah. In the time of Isaiah, we learned last week that God is truly upset with the nations of Israel and Judah because they were ignoring the needs of those around them. Okay? Isaiah 1:7, right at the beginning of the book, it says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the rights of widows." And in 1 Corinthians 16:1, we see that the Corinthians, okay, now the Corinthians were a church plant. All right, so here's Paul. He goes out from Jerusalem, which we can sort of refer to as like the mothership, right? And he goes out and he plants churches everywhere, and he's talking to people who aren't necessarily Jews. So the Corinthians, this church plant, keep that in mind, were taking up this weekly collection to help the church community in Jerusalem. One group had resources, the other didn't. And in fact, in Galatians 2:10, Paul is told by the leaders of the Jerusalem church, continue to take care of the poor and needy. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles, okay, to the non-Jews, while they continued to do their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do. So we could go on and on. There's verse after verse after verse that says the same thing. But it all keeps coming back to this idea of loving your neighbor. So who is your neighbor? All right, so the church, so as people give to the church, we take the first 20% of all of that money and we give it away. And here's how we do that. Okay, the first 5% we use for foreign missions. Okay, so Rachel Slama, that we just talked about. Okay, she's getting ready to leave on an 11-month international missions trip. We also support Jeff and Jen Switzer. They're stationed in Kenya, which, yes, Adam is in Africa. All right, then we do 10% that we give to NPEA. NPEA stands for Northern Plains Evangelistic Association. They are a church planting organization. They help plant Whitewater. So here's how it works. A bunch of churches and individuals give money to NPEA. They then go to an area where God has called them to plant a church, and they take this chunk of money, because it costs money to do a ministry, right? And that money's used, and we plant a church. Okay, so now we've been planted, so now we do the same thing. We give to the organization, our resources are pooled with all these other different churches and individuals, and another church is planted, and the process continues, a lot like Paul and the church in Corinth. And the last 5% we use for local missions and benevolence. Okay, now benevolence is another one of those fancy Christian words that really just means helping those in your local community, all right? And that has looked like, you know, someone's needed a tank of gas, someone's needed food. We've done gift certificates to Safeway to help out. I'm sure some of you know the story of the van. Now, last I saw, the van was still parked back in this back corner. And that started off with a simple phone call of someone, I'm stuck, or we're stuck up at the Lincoln Head Monument Rest Area, okay? It's January, it's snowing. Caleb and Adam go up there to help change a tire. Well, it turns out that changing the tire isn't gonna work. They actually need a new tire. So they get towed down here. We help them fix their van. Van is actually beyond, it gets as far as the petrol station and it dies. And at this point, you know, it's not worth putting any more money in the van. And we actually end up buying some bus tickets to help this couple who is on oxygen. So they can hardly breathe at this elevation. So it really becomes a matter of let's just get them off the mountain and back down to sea level so they can breathe again. So it's a little bit, and sometimes it's a little bit more. We don't have that money as a church. It's been given by all of us to help fund these needs. And so as you can see, as we pool, we're helping more people. And Adam told us a couple weeks ago, you know, that there are these stories of people coming up to him and saying, you know, you guys are making an impact in Laramie. Thank you for what you're doing. And that's because we're all working together. I know that giving is hard. I mean, I know it is really, really hard. And everywhere we look, there's need. Okay? People in your family. I have a brother-in-law that's been unemployed for 9 months. He's 50-some years old. I don't know if he's going to find a job anytime soon. There's need. There's people in our church that have need. There's people in the community. That's why we support Interfaith. That's why we're collecting peanut butter and jelly for Interfaith, because that's what they need right now to stock their shelves. So we do need to give, and we need to start somewhere. Where could you start? Could you start with your church? We have needs. We meet needs. So maybe 10% is a good place to start. Could you give 10 cents out of every dollar? If you make $30, that's only $3. That may be 5 cents, maybe a penny out of every dollar you make. If you aren't giving anything now, can you start? It's hard. How many of you took swim lessons as a kid? Okay. All right. I did. Now, I don't know how it's done in Laramie, but where I grew up, there were like these two-week courses. And the worst part about swimming lessons was knowing that at the end, you were going to have to go off the diving board at the deep end. Okay, serious dread. I can just feel it. The good news is that the swim instructors did not just, pick you up at the first lesson and throw you off the diving board and hope for the best, okay? Oh, look, they drowned. Oh, so sad, right? Okay, they kind of worked us up to it. So first, they put us in the pool, and, you had to prove that you could go from side to side in the shallow end where your feet still could touch the ground without drowning. Yay, okay, you passed that class. Next class, we're going to move you to, a little bit further up into the pool. Same thing, side to side. Yay, you didn't drown. Moving on. Third class. This was the diving board class. Everybody knew it. So we're in the deep end, and they tell us we're going to go off the diving board. And so you walk down this narrow, wiggly, bouncy board, and you're standing at the end, and you're looking down into the water, and they're going, jump. And you know what? And there was somebody in the water to catch you. And it was really scary, but we did it. Now, some kids, of course, were a little bit more fun-loving, I guess, and they would just thought, this is the best class in the world. They'd get up the diving board, push down, in, they're good to go. Some of us were a little bit more cautious and took our time, but we all did it. And I think giving is the same way. That first step is the hardest, and after that, it gets easier and easier. Sometimes we're cautious and fearful about giving our money away, and then we see God at work, and it's just, it is so much easier to run down that board and dive right in. And it's just, it comes down to, I think for each one of us, it's this heart issue. Why did God give us so much? We know when you look around, there's always somebody who has more than you. There's always somebody who has less than you. But God has given us each so much. And I think it's because we are then able to be God's hands and feet. So 10% then becomes this goal. All right? Like we said, 10 cents out of every dollar. So is there something that you could change in your budget that would allow you to give? Cable, movies, the NFL ticket package from Dish Network, cigarettes, alcohol, video games, marijuana. Is there something you can give up? I know that it's easier to give when you feel like your finances are in order. So this fall, we are going to be offering Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. It's about 13-week course, I believe. And it focuses on getting out of debt and how to save. Okay, we have about 10 spots for either individuals or couples. It runs about $100 for the class. If you are interested in taking this class, and the only thing that is standing between you and enrolling is the cost, would you come see me? Okay. We have some scholarships available. We can set up a payment plan. It's not to the fall, so you could do $10 a week for 10 weeks or something. Whatever, we'll work it out, okay? But if that is the only barrier between you and taking this class, and you really want to take the class, come see me, okay? But I can tell you from experience, personal experience, that you will never feel like your finances are perfectly in order. There will always be something unexpected that throws that monkey wrench into your perfectly laid plans. And that's where trusting God comes into play. So it's a heart issue. Can you trust God with your finances just like you do with the other areas of your life? So let me leave you with this. 1 John 4:19 through 21 says, "We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, 'I love God,' but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. If we don't love the people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters."
Thanks, Tanya. If I was to tweet or Facebook something from that sermon, which I did, we give because we are Christ followers. Giving is a tangible way of showing that. That's a powerful statement to me because it speaks to a lifestyle that we're living that goes beyond finances. And maybe it starts with finances for you. Maybe it includes finances for you, but it involves an entire lifestyle. And the reason it does is because our faith narrative that we've been looking at all year has talked about this idea that at the beginning, the world was perfect. And something happened where we lost our innocence and invited death into the world as in the way of a curse. And the only thing that was powerful enough to break that curse was Jesus giving of himself without expecting anything in return. And the moment that he died on the cross and then rose from the grave and defeated death and broke the curse, he invited us to do the same. Because there's still death in the world. There's still pockets of the curse existing in the world, and we are called and invited to join him in that holy work of giving of ourselves to break the curse. And so as we take communion today to finish out the service, I want you guys to remember that, to think about that, to meditate on that. Jesus gave of himself, and we are called to do the same. We give because we are Christ followers. Giving is a tangible way of showing that. So I'm going to pray, invite you guys to come up. There's communion stations up front, off to either side, and then one in the back in the center. After you guys take communion, then free to go. Enjoy some lunch and some company with the folks that you met during the meet and greet time. All right. God, thank you. Thank you that you first loved us. Thank you that we can live our lives as a response to that. Thank you that you call us and invite us to give ourselves away for the sake of the people around us, just as you did, just as you modeled for us on the cross. God, I pray that you would help bring that to mind this week as we live day to day. Help us to see the needs around us, and then help us to know which ones we can meet and give us the courage to do so. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful and authoritative name. Amen.